Thank you. I thank all of you for coming out this evening. I do welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, doesn't look like much. It's less than half a page of notes. And I'm not the youngest minister, but I've been a minister the least amount of time of the ministry here at the Temple Lot. So I found it really interesting. I appreciated my Uncle Alvin's sermon this morning. It was very good. I really liked the part about the apple tree. That was right on the money with my sermon tonight. Have you ever considered being a tree? Have you ever considered what it would be like to be a tree? And if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Would you be large? Would you be a very wonderful shade tree? Leslie, do you need some water?
No.
You sure? Just air. Okay. Yeah, don't pass out on me. Would you provide plenty of shade? Would you give off any type of edible fruit? These are the thoughts that have been going through my mind the past couple of weeks. And so when Uncle Alvin was talking about an apple tree and how tasty the apples were and all of that, I was thinking about my sermon tonight. Also, all of the stuff that he talked to us about repentance, because that's my sermon tonight, too. So let's turn to Matthew, the third chapter. This is where I'm going to start. Starting in the seventh verse of Matthew, and I think Uncle Alvin did this in Mark, if I remember right. It says, "But," and this is talking about John the Baptist. And actually, maybe Uncle Alvin read the fourth chapter of Matthew down at the 17th verse, but we're in chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 7. It says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Now, if you would turn to Mark, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 12th verse. And here we go. This is Jesus Christ. He went into the city of Jerusalem the preceding day. For the first time, he came in his triumphal entry into the city on the colt. They spread their cloaks and stuff, and they spread palm leaves before him and proclaimed that here was the king. And he went into the city, and he went into the temple. He looked around, looked at it, and then he left. He went out, and he went to a place called Bethany with his disciples, his 12 apostles. They spent the night there in Bethany. And then it says in the 12th verse, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." He woke up hungry. He's walking back into Jerusalem, and he's hungry. "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Okay, so he didn't get a fig. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. So he went into town, hungry. He cursed a fig tree because it didn't have any fruit. He went into the temple, saw what was going on, didn't appreciate it, and he cleaned the place up. And then he left town. He went out again. And in the morning, as they passed by, coming back into town, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Huh. Look at the tree. It's dead. It's actually dry. Yesterday it had leaves on it, but it is dry as a bone today. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. It looks like it could just bust into dust and be blown away in the wind. This thing is dead. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. For if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Yeah, the tree's dead. I cursed it. It didn't bring forth any fruit. That upset me, so I cursed it, and it died because I said so. You can do the same thing. For some reason, I've been... This has been going through my mind all day yesterday and today, that someone has fear in their heart. I don't know why they're afraid, but somebody has something that's been bothering them and they're afraid of it. Did you know that in the scriptures, in the Bible alone, there are 365 places in the Bible where God tells the people, Fear not, I am with thee. You have nothing to be afraid of. I'm with you. You don't need to worry about anything. I'm with you. Think about David and Goliath. Goliath was, according to what it says in the scriptures, 9 feet 9 inches tall. 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 feet 9 inches tall. King Saul was one of the tallest men in Jerusalem at that time. He was right at 6 foot. He was a head taller than anyone else in the kingdom. So everyone else was around 5 foot. David was not one of the taller people in the kingdom, it says. So he might have been right at 5 foot, maybe a little less. And David went up against Goliath with no fear. Think about it. He's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Okay? That's taller than I can reach. I can reach like this. That's 8 feet right there. Go another foot and a half. All right, you're getting close. You got another 9 inches to go. Okay. David's right about here. And he's going to go up against Goliath. And he doesn't even hesitate. He's going up against Goliath with some rocks and a sling. And God on his side. No fear. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, "You were not baptized unto fear. You were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And with the Holy Ghost in you, you have nothing to fear. So go and do the things that God has commanded you to do." All right, that's the last I'm going to talk about fear tonight. It's just for whoever needed it. There it is. Look up the spots. If you've got a concordance, go into the Book of Mormon too, because there's more than 365, if you include the Book of Mormon, places that talk about that you've got nothing to fear. You can worry and fret all you want, but really, we don't need to. God will take care of us if we do what he's asked us to do. It will all turn out the way he wants it to, which is always going to be a lot better than the way we want it to. All right, back to the trees. So here he is. He has told he's shown his disciples that whatsoever things they say and command things to do in his name, it'll be done if they have faith and they believe, okay? But what is the lesson? There's a lesson here. It's not just being able to command things around in the name of Christ. There's a lesson. What did he do that day? He cursed a fig tree because it didn't have any fruit. There's a lesson in that. What kind of tree did you imagine yourself to be? Was it an apple tree? A fig tree? Did you have fruit? A fruit that was desirable. He went into the temple and he cleansed it. God says that he does not dwell in unholy or unclean temples. So for the Spirit of God to dwell in us, you've got to cleanse yourself. You've got to cleanse you on the inside, like Christ cleansed the temple. So there's more than just getting upset with stuff and cursing things and driving the money changers out. There's lessons to be learned in every single thing that Christ did, and every word that he said. There's more, usually more than just one meaning in there. And it's for our benefit. Let's turn to Romans. Last time I was up here, I used these two scriptures. Romans, the 6th chapter. And this was in the last sermon that I preached from up here. And actually, I used it in the last sermon I preached last Sunday morning. 6th chapter of Romans, the 22nd verse says, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We have nothing to fear. We have been born again. We've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. We've cast the sin out of us. As Uncle Alvin said this morning, hallelujah. We have been cleansed. Praise God that He has done this for us. He's the one that did it, not us. Turn to Psalms. The very first psalm, believe it or not, talks about a tree. What kind of tree is it? Well, verse 1 of Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Blessed is the man that is not of the world and does not have the world in him, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Go back to the book of Joshua. Remember what God told Joshua after he made him take Moses' place? And Joshua was like afraid that he wouldn't be able to do the job. He told Joshua, "Joshua, you've got nothing to be afraid of. As long as you keep the law in your heart and you meditate upon it day and night, I will be in front of you. I will lead the way." And what kind of man was Joshua? He was blessed. He kept the commandments of God with no fear of what the world might throw at him. He had to go face giants too. The sons of Anak there in the land of Canaan. Remember that story? "But his delight is in the law of the Lord," second verse, "and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Nothing unclean in the temple of God. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish and be dried up and blown away like a nasty old fig tree that didn't put forth any fruit. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Seventeenth chapter of Jeremiah. I'm going to start at the 7th verse. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." No matter what's going on around you, no matter what is happening in your life, if you want to be blessed and you trust in God, you're going to put forth fruit, and your leaves will always be green, and there'll always be shade, comfortable shade around you. People will be enjoying being in your presence. They will enjoy the fruit that you give them. Okay, so what's it say in the Book of Mormon? Most of you probably already have it figured out. I thought about going into Jacob and talking about Zenos, all of that, but that's way too long. So we're going to go somewhere else, go into the 16th chapter of Alma. And this was a long one too, but fortunately we get to shorten it. Starting at the 147th verse of the 16th chapter of Alma, this is on page 423. And now, my beloved brethren, as ye have desired to know of me what ye shall do because ye are afflicted and cast out, now I do not desire that ye should suppose that I mean to judge you, only according to that which is true. For I do not mean that ye, all of you, have been compelled to humble yourselves, for I verily believe that there are some among you which would humble themselves, let them be in whatsoever circumstances they might. Whether the river's dried up, or there's a drought going on, or whatever, you're going to be humble, and you're still going to put forth fruit. Now, as I said concerning faith, that it was not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with my words. Ye cannot know of their surety at first unto perfection any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. And faith isn't a perfect knowledge. Faith is faith. Believing on something that you can't see. Something that you hope for. But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties even to an experiment upon my words and exercise a particle of faith, just try it. Yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe. Do you want to believe? Well, then let's try it. Do you want to believe that this is true? Then let's try it. Let this desire work in you even until you believe in a manner that you can give place for a portion of my words. Make room for something. Now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, excuse me, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. Excuse me. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. If Jim's Bonnie was here, she'd be all thrilled about the seed because her garden, she's got it planted, and she can see the dirt starting to rise up where every little seed's been planted, and she's just waiting for that plant to just pop out of the soil. And she might even go around and fleck off a little bit of the dirt just to see it. She's so happy and excited. It must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless, it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. It's growing. It started to grow. But I haven't tasted the fruit yet. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, and then ye must needs say that the seed is good, for behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. I see it. My tree is growing. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith, for ye will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. Now behold, ye are sure that this is a good seed. Are ye sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea, for every seed bringeth forth unto its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good. But if it groweth not, behold, it is not good. Therefore, it is cast away. Wonder what kind of seed that fig tree came from. Must not have been very good because it got cast away. And now, behold, because ye have tried the experiment and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, ye must needs know that the seed is good. And now, behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing. And your faith is dormant. And this because you know, for ye know that the word hath swelled your souls. Have you experienced that? When you read the scriptures and you read what it says, does it affect you? Does it affect your soul? When you hear people bear their testimonies about the things that God has done for them and praising Him, does it affect your soul? Does it make you feel better? Does it make you feel like something's growing inside of you? When you hear the ministers up front preaching to you, and sometimes it affects you, this is what it's talking about. You know. Your belief has been affected. Your faith has been affected, and you can feel it growing. You can experience it. Okay? So it has become perfect. It's become knowledge. And your faith has become dormant. And this because you know, for ye know that the word has swelled your souls, and ye also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand. You have that, oh, yeah, or the aha moment that they like to talk about. I get it now. I see it. I've experienced that. Oh, then, is not this real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light. And whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. It's understandable. You can test it, good to bad. Therefore, ye must know that it is good. And now, behold, after ye have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed was good. And behold, as the tree beginneth to grow, ye will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. How do you nourish this seed, this tree of faith that's grown inside of you, inside your soul? Well, you got to feed it. Keep experimenting. See what makes it feel better. What makes it grow better. Ask God questions. Pray to Him. Ask Him for help in things. Get administered to. Talk to other people in the congregation. Come to church more often. Come to church whenever you can. study the word, meditate upon it day and night. Pray. And further on in this chapter, it talks about when to pray. Every second of every day that you're awake, you should be praying in one form or another for all things that you are in need of. So nourish it. But if ye neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, if you let it starve and you don't feed it and you don't water it and you don't put fertilizer around it, behold, it will not get any root, and when the sun and heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. Kind of like the fig tree. And I asked you, what kind of seed did that fig tree have? Well, it was a fig tree. It came from the seed of another fig tree. There was nothing wrong with the seed. It says, now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable. It would have been desirable. It just wasn't putting forth any fruit. But it is because your ground is barren. Your ground is full of rocks and there's no soil. There's no nutrients. You're not even trying. And ye will not nourish the tree. Therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. And that would be the end of the fig tree. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence, yours, and your faith, and your patience with the word. Well, God said that whatever I asked for in faith, believing he would do, and it would happen. And I asked this morning, and it hasn't happened yet. Have just a little bit more patience, okay? God knows when you really need whatever it is that you're worried about and afraid of to be taken care of. He knows the exact moment that it will be best for all of us. So just be patient, okay? Don't give up. Looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. Oops, sorry. Your patience and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. What kind of fruit are you looking for on your tree? Good job, good house, great marriage, fantastic kids, good grades in school, great vacation. What kind of fruit are you looking for? That's not the fruit that it's talking about. This is the most desirable of all fruit. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. The fruit of the Spirit. Go to verse 198. And now, my brethren, I desire that ye should plant this word in your hearts, And as it beginneth to swell, even so nourish it by your faith. And behold, it will become a tree, springing up in you unto everlasting life. And then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joy of his Son. And even all this can ye do if ye will. Amen. Go over to verse 226. And this is the end of Alma and I think it was Amulek talking about this tree. 226, page 430. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. You need to plant the seed now and nourish it now until the end of your life. Don't waste your time anymore. Now is the time, tonight, plant the seed, nourish the tree, and then you'll be able to harvest the fruit. And you will affect everyone around you as your tree is growing. You will affect all the people that you live with, all of the people that you work with, all of the people that you come to church with. You will affect all of us if you would just start. Repent. Be baptized. And continue on in the word of Christ. It's not hard. In fact, it feels good. It does. The tree there in Psalms. To me, it was amazing how the Bible got put together, the order that they put it in together, all of these separate books, they put it in order in the way they thought was best. And it starts out at the very beginning in Genesis, second chapter, 8th verse. And the Lord God planted a garden, eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Well, we already read that. That was in the first Psalm, right? Tree, the river, it was all good, growing, shade, fruit, desirous fruit. That was in Psalms. This is at the beginning of the Bible. Go to the end. Go back to Revelations. Last chapter. 22nd chapter, first verse. And he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The tree of life. You can be just like that tree of life. You can be just like Jesus Christ in putting forth good fruit, just like he did. And everything that he did and everything that he said and thought, he was always putting forth fruit, trying to show people the way, trying to encourage them in his actions, in his thoughts, in his words, to follow and keep God's commandments at all times. Okay? Not just one day out of the year, but not just one season out of the year for fruit, but every month. Every month. It says it right there. 12 months. Fruit was brought forth every month, every day. And it made you feel wonderful. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be these fruitful trees. You can go back into the Book of Mormon and you can read there in Jacob about the prophecies of Zenos and Zenoch. And the orchard and the trees that brought forth good fruit and the trees that didn't, the branches that didn't have any fruit and the branches that did. And what happened to them? The good ones, they made it to the end. The ones that brought forth the fruit. The bad ones, they were cut off, hacked off, uprooted, piled in a heap and burned. What do you want to be? What kind of fruit are you planning on putting out? 14th verse. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Because just about every sin that you can commit has a lie tied to it somehow. And Satan is the master of all lies. So who are you going to believe? Jesus Christ or Satan? You going to do good in your life or are you going to commit sin? That's the choice we have to make. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen.